is my prayer, that it would not grieve me.
This morning, we know you're trying to get in and take over, but we're not gonna let you do that. So we just take authority over you this morning, you and all your demonic spirits. We break the power of the devil right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over this service and over each and every one that is here with us this morning. And we ask, Father God, that you would give us anointed ears to hear and hearts open to receive your word, Father God, and that whatever we do here will bring glory and honor to you. We know that it's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one that comes alongside to help us. We know that he is our teacher. And we know, Father God, that he is the one that helps us understand what it is that you expect of us. And so I ask you to fill each one of us this morning and refill us with your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit just flow from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet, God. We need anointing. We need your power. We know that the Holy Spirit has exousia. We know that the Holy Spirit has a dynamo, that dynamite power. And we need that power, Lord, to just survive on this earth with all of the things that are going on. We know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, in advance for what you will do here, what you will say. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak through my mouth and think through my mind. I thank you for it, God. I thank you in advance. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. You see, the devil is on his job, so we have to be on our job now. And we thank God for this technical device that we have that allows us to come together and pray and to have our worship service on Sunday morning. And so many, not many, but some people in the community have asked me about us gathering again. And God has not given me that assignment yet. And so we continue to be on Zoom, but you know, I'm not worried about it because it appears that we reach more people by being on Zoom. So even if we would begin together again, we would continue with Zoom. But we thank God that we can do this morning, and that we know that God is real and that nothing is too difficult for him to do. So as I listen to the praise and worship songs this morning, of course, I select that music on Saturday night, and so I always ask the Lord to show me about what he would have me to do about the music for the service. And you know, I listened this morning to I'm Looking for a Miracle. That's a old Christian song that we've been singing probably since the 70s, I guess. We started singing that song. And then it talked about the sky is the limit. You know, there's no limitations on God. He is God. And so the sky is the limit to what we can have. The sky is the limit to what we can have from God. And then in this song by Vicky Yoki, she talked about no limits, no boundaries. You see, there's freedom in Christ Jesus. And so we just really need to understand that limits and boundaries are not there for us if we are obedient to God. So I'm going somewhere with this because we're going to talk about obedience this morning. We're going to talk about hindrances and distractions because all of that is a part of what goes on when you are trying to serve the Lord. All of that is a part of what the devil tries to stop when you are serving the Lord. And so we have to know that. So we're going to talk about what the Bible says about obedience, hindrances, and distractions. So we look at 1 Samuel 15 and 22. And it says, "Have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." I want us to understand that the question is being asked here, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So we know that the scripture tells us that, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can make all those sacrifices that you want to, but if you're not obedient to God, He doesn't honor your sacrifices, you see. And in this scripture, you can go back and read about it. That was the problem with King Saul. And so the prophet Samuel is telling him about this business of being disobedient. So we're talking about obedience, hindrances, and distractions. And so submission is a matter of the heart, but obedience is an act of the will. So, you know, we submit to God in our hearts. Lord, I love you. I just want to serve you. Please help me to do whatever you want me to do. We're submitting ourselves. We submit ourselves to leadership. You know, in my ministerial association that's connected with my alma mater, Rhema Bible Training College, I am required as a ordained minister to submit myself to another minister who is a pastor to be my pastor. The philosophy here is that a pastor needs a pastor. You still need somebody to submit yourself to, who can give you support and give you counsel and help you stay balanced. And that's what they require of us. And in other professions, that's also true, that they require professionals, some professionals, they have to have someone to be their the therapists. Every therapist, psychologist, psychiatric, mental health professionals, other professionals, you need to have someone that you go to. It's your go-to person. It's the person who helps you stay balanced, you see. And so what we need to see here is that we're talking about obedience, and it's better than any sacrifice you can make just to be obedient to God. And so submission is a matter of the heart, but obedience is an act of the will. And you can look at Acts 5, 27 and 29, Acts 23, 1 through 5, and see that God expects both from us. He expects both. And so it's not sufficient that we hear the word of the Lord. We must keep His commandments. You see, it's fine to hear it, but are you doing that? Because if you're not doing that, then you're in disobedience. So it's not sufficient that we hear the word of the Lord. We must keep the will of God. So Matthew 7 and 21 says, not everyone that saith, but he that doeth the will of my Father. In other words, it's not just saying it, but are you doing it? When I think of a man who was the founder of a not a denomination, but a spiritual group, and John Wimber, and he spoke at a conference in Tulsa, Oklahoma, some years ago. In fact, he's gone home to meet the Lord. But he talked about his early days as a Christian. And of course, he was a baby. He was a baby Christian. He didn't know nothing about serving the Lord. He wasn't raised up like some of us in the church. He didn't know anything about that. And so he was a hippie out there on the streets of San Francisco, and somebody led him to the Lord. So he got saved and he started going to this church. And they were teaching from the book of Acts, but they were teaching history. They weren't teaching as you learn, you do. So he kept asking them, when they talk about the miracles and signs and wonders that had occurred in the day, in that day, he said, well, when do we do the stuff? You see, he understood that if that worked at that time, in biblical times, when do we start doing it? You see, we got to understand that we have to act on it. We can't just talk about it. And so God expects us to be obedient, and he expects us to do what his word says. So we need to know that in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith, but he that doeth the will of God is obedient. Matthew 7:24-26. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You see, it's an action word. You not only say it, but you do it. Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's called obedience. You see, you say, you know, you want me to be in your life. You say you want me to be your God. You say that you want to have me bless you. But why don't you do what I say? You see, and we had a preaching going on some years ago that said, don't do as I do, but do as I say. That's incorrect. Everything I say to you, I ought to be doing myself. I have no right to impose upon you rules that I'm not, or directions, guidance that I'm not following, you see. And so my life must be an example to you, so that you not only can hear me say it, but you can see me do it, you see. And that's what we have to understand. We want to lead people to the Lord and our families, and we forget that they live with us. And even if they don't live with us, they see us in another you know, realm besides church. And some of us are saying in church certain things, but we're not doing it. You see, you got to do it. You got to make it an action rather than just coming out of your mouth. And so we look at Luke 46. I think I just read that. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? James 1:22-25. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer, and continue therein, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You see, you got to do both. You got to hear it first, and then follow the instructions, and show yourself I think it's 2 Timothy where it says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Show yourself approved by doing what God's word says. We want to talk about James 2:20-22. Faith without works is dead. You say you have faith, that scripture says, but where are your works? We are not depending on works, because a lot of people do work, but they don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. But the two go together. If you say that you are, then you act like you are. If you say that you are, then you do what you say you are. You perform that, you see. Faith is an action word. So faith says you gotta do it, because otherwise you just talking about it. You're not doing it. So John Wimber kept asking that folks, when do we do the stuff? And he said that they finally asked him what he was talking about, what stuff. And he said, the stuff you've been teaching me out of the book of Acts. And they said, oh, we don't do it. We just talk about it. Well, see, that's not what God says we ought to do. But you know what the word says. You need to do it as well as speak it. You need to do it. So be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer and continue therein, a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. And that word man is human, is male and female. And so then we look at James 20 and 22, faith without works is dead. And so salvation is based upon continued obedience to the word of God. And then John 8 and 31 said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word and do not, excuse me, my dog is, stop it, Sarah. I don't know, somebody's on my, knocking on my door. What, y'all, I'm sorry. So what we need to know is James, salvation is, Sarah, please. Salvation, that's the devil. Salvation is based upon continued obedience to the word of God. If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Philippians 2 and 12, as you always obey, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and 12, as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, that word obey is key. Obedience is key. We must learn to follow God. We must allow him to lead us. And so when we started this teaching, we said, what does the Bible say about obedience? And what does it say about hindrances and distractions? And you just saw that in action, because my dog heard something fall in the kitchen and she went ballistic. That's a distraction. That's a hindrance. So you get precept and example in this teaching. And so what we need to know is that Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 14, whose house are we if we hold fast unto the end? Whose house are we? We can answer those questions by going to that scripture. But we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Hebrews 5 and 9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that, here's that key word, obey him. You see, obedience is very important. And some of us had a good teacher. We had a teacher that taught us obedience to our parents, and the word of God speaks of that. And I always try to warn people who are disrespectful of their parents and elders. The word of God says that you need to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land that the Lord God gives thee. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is a big word, and we find it in the scriptures often. And so, but we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I'm sorry, somebody's on the line with me. I don't know who. Maybe it's my echo. Anyway, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 5 and 9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obeyed him. And then we talk about a walk of obedience is necessary for a fruitful prayer life. If you want God to answer your prayers, then you need to be obedient. A walk of obedience is necessary for a fruitful prayer life. And so Proverbs 28 and 9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. You need to be obedient to God to get your prayers answered. You think God is not seeing what you do? You think God is not hearing what you say? And you say that, and then you turn around and ask God to bless it. Well, he's not blessing our mess. So we have to understand that. He turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Even his prayers shall be an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, from hearing the word, from being obedient. 1 John 3:22, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. We need to understand about obedience, saints. It's so important. Obedience plays an important part in the claiming of our personal inheritance in the kingdom of God. And all the blessings to be obtained therein are conditional upon our relationship to God. So when we're in disobedience, we're out of fellowship with God. Let's say that again. When we are in disobedience, we're out of fellowship with God. So we have to understand, God is not hearing us when we are out of fellowship with him. You can't work God like a slot machine. That's not the way you get blessed from him. And so, first of all, our relationship with him is very important. We have to have relationship with him. We know that if he hears us, we know that we will have the petitions that we desire of him. We know that if he hears us, and if we're out of fellowship, he doesn't hear us. We're not connected. And so we need to understand that. So obedience plays an important part in the claiming of our personal inheritance in the kingdom of God. And all blessings to be obtained therein are conditional upon our relationship to God. We've got to be in relationship with him. Exodus 19:5-6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. Those are the conditions. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, obedience, hearing what God says to us, and then keeping the covenant or keeping the commandment, or we got to obey. Deuteronomy 6:17-18 and Joshua 1:6-7 says, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. 1 Chronicles 28:7, moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments. Hebrews 10:36, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. I don't know why this translation says you might, but I think what it's saying, you will. I'm going to translate that, you will. I'm going to research that when I go back. I should have done that. But I think, you know, in the King James translation, there were words used. And many times the words that were used are not used in that way today. So we have to make sure, and that's why we have these other translations, the Amplified Translation, the Living Translation, is so we can go ahead and check to see if that word means, and you can go to your concordance. And those of you that know how to find the concordance online, if you don't have the actual concordance, I happen to have the actual concordance. And that's how those books are so heavy and cumbersome. But now, praise God, you can go online with your computer or your little thing that you have. What is it? electronic thing that you have. I'm talking fast and not making sense, so I better slow down. But you can look up in that concordance. You go into the concordance and you find the scripture. That's what you do. Go into the concordance and find that scripture that I just read. And then you look up the word. Look up the word that ye might receive the promise. You see, because God is not a if God. I mean, he's a if God conditions, but he keeps his promises. And so it's not if you might receive it. So that's a wrong translation right there is what I'm trying to tell you. And then we need to stay focused. And of course, I'm going to have to stop soon. I'm not going to be able to finish this today. So we'll come back to it when I bring the word again. But what we want to know is we need to stay focused. Stay focused. So Matthew 14, verse 20 through and 23 says there will always be distractions along the way. We talk about distractions now to stay in focus. The story of Peter is a good example. Early one morning before dawn, Peter and the other disciples were on the boat in the middle of the stormy sea when Jesus came to them. And in another translation, it said when Jesus appeared to them. Now, realize that Jesus has been crucified and he now is appearing to them. He's not no longer with them. He's resurrected, but he's no longer with them. But he appears to them because they're out there fishing. And they've been fishing and they didn't get a thing. So Jesus came to them walking on the sea, and the disciples were terrified, thinking he was a ghost. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you." This is another scripture. I'm sorry. I was taking you in another direction. But Jesus, this is where Jesus walks on the water. So he said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus, then Peter had enough faith to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter felt the strong winds, he became frightened and lost his focus on Jesus and began to sink. You see, he got distracted. The wind was blowing, and he's doing something that he didn't think he could do anyway. And so he got distracted. And then fear came. You see, you can't have fear and faith together. You can have one or the other, but you can't have fear and faith together. So he lost his faith and became fearful. And when that happened, he began to sink, you see. So you can't lose focus. When you have your eye on Jesus, you got to keep your eye on Jesus, no matter what's going on around you. And, you know, I use an example. My son, Reverend Chris, gave his testimony at an event on Sunday. And I realized that it was very difficult for him to give that testimony because of the thing that happened to him, the attack that he went through, the trauma. You see, trauma can hinder us from being able to talk about certain things a lot. But I want to use the example of him when his daughter needed a liver at 6 months old. Her liver was deteriorating in her body. Her little body was swollen. His stomach and all was swollen, and it was pressing on her lungs, that old liver was, and causing her to have difficulty to breathe. And they put her in the hospital, admitted her to the hospital. And they told my son that there was a waiting list for a liver, so they didn't know if they were going to be able to save her. But my son would not hear of that. He said, oh no, God has a liver for my daughter, and God is going to heal her. And he would not allow them to talk doubt and belief to him about Kamaria. And today, Kamaria is going to nursing school. I believe that eventually she will become a pediatrician, but right now she's studying to be a registered nurse. But Kamaria, the Lord blessed her with a new liver. He blessed her with a new liver, and the little child that died that she got that liver from, it might have been a little bit too big because the little child was a little older than Kamaria, but those physicians, God gave them wisdom, and they made that liver fit in her little body and caused her to be today. God has raised her up, and she is an adult. She is a young woman going studying medicine right now, studying, being trained to be a registered nurse. That is her desire. And you see, she knows firsthand what God can do because she's a walking testimony. But my son, I have to say, my son had the faith, and he would not allow anyone to tell him that God was not going to heal her. He would not allow anyone to talk doubt and unbelief to him. And that's what we have to do. We have to understand, when you believe in God for something, if people come to you and they talking doubt and unbelief, you need to get away from them or get them away from you. Because you see, what they do is they discourage the faith, and fear that sets in. And that's what we see here with Peter. Peter said, Lord, Jesus said, come. And he got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But then the strong winds came, and he became frightened and lost his focus on Jesus and began to sink. We got to keep our focus on Jesus. We cannot allow the enemy to distract us with his lies. So then he cried out. Peter cried out. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, so we can't have doubt and unbelief. When we believe in God for something, we got to stand on it. And I tell you, Sister Patsy was living in a house that she was renting, and she and her husband were in a pool to be selected for a house in a new addition that was going up on Week Street. And so they applied, they put their name in the pool, and they were believing God for one of those houses that was being built. And I mean, sister girl would wear you out talking about that house. I got so tired of hearing about that house. But what she was doing was building her faith. She kept talking about what she was going to put in that house. She kept talking about, you know, how the house was going to have this many bedrooms, and how the house was going to have this, and how they had signed some papers, and once they were selected, how they signed some papers. Oh, Lord, I got so tired of that house. But what she was doing was building her faith. She wasn't letting nobody tell her that she wasn't having that house. She's sitting in that house today. That's been many years ago. She's sitting in that house today, and it's been a blessing not only to her, but it's been a blessing to a lot of people that she allowed to come and stay in that house because they didn't have nowhere to go. She was one time running a homeless shelter out of that house. People came and stayed in that house. And I just loved her husband. He's gone home to be with the Lord. But Brother Leroy, he would allow her to do those kinds of things. And I was amazed. She just dragged people in that house and let them stay in there until they could do better. And he never tried to stop her from doing that. And, you know, when she first was courting him, she taught him. I don't think she really taught him. I think he had had the training as a child at home, but he had gotten way away from that. But she began to show him the benefits of tithing. Because she is a tither, and ever since I've known her, she's been a tither. And so she showed him the benefits of tithing. And so Brother Leroy, in his final days on earth, he wasn't supposed to drive the car, and, you know, he was very much disabled. But Sister Patsy and I had had some disagreements. God, praise God for getting us past that. And so he would sneak off in the car, because we were around the corner there in the People's Plaza. That's where our building was. He would sneak off and come and bring his tithes after church. He became a faithful tither. He didn't allow me and Patsy's mess or any other mess to keep him from paying his tithe. And, you know, he did that until the day he left here. He realized that God was blessing him, and so he just kept on doing what the Word of God says in his obedience and giving. And I know that some of you are like that. And I don't do name calling, but, you know, Sister Sabrina, she's a faithful tither. She sends that tithe in the mail. She's in Chicago, but she sends her tithe in the mail. You know, if you get a hold of that and understand that sometimes it looks like it's not effective, but honey, it's effective. You need to go over there to Malachi 3 and read Malachi 3 in the Living Translation or in the Amplified Translation. The Amplified Translation is so easy. And if you read it, you'll see that when you are a tither, God makes sure that your stuff don't break down. And if it does, it gets fixed right away. My cars, I get good wear out of my cars, because I believe what the Word says, that if I pay tithes, that's my insurance against the devil destroying my goods, not only my car, but where I live, all of that. And so you see some benefits that go along with tithing that people don't really understand, because if you did, honey, you can't afford. I heard people say, well, I just can't afford to pay tithes right now. I can't give God 10%. Well, honey, you can't afford not to. Listen, I was working, and I didn't intend to go this way, because I'm going to stop in a minute, but I'm talking about staying focused. I remember when I was working for the school district, I became a single parent. And so I still had two children in high school. And I worked for Sequoia High School District, and they only paid once a month. Now, the pay was good, but when you only get a check once a month, it's difficult to manage. Even the best of us have difficulty managing. So that made me have to be a woman of faith and trust God to pay my tithes, even though I knew I wasn't going to get another check for another month. But what happened was, as I would give God his money off the top, because that's what I called it, giving him his money off the top, that little money stretched throughout the month. I never went without gas. I never went without food. My children had what they needed. And I just knew that it was because I was being obedient to God. And that's an act of obedience. That's an act of faith. And so when y'all hear me talk about tithing, I would never stop tithing at this point in my life. Because if I did, the devil would eat my lunch. Because, you see, I know better. To do better, to know better. You know, the scripture says to know to do good, and doeth it not is sin. And so I pay tithes. And I know one of our greatest ministers got up and said that that was not necessary. But then he got so many calls and from his colleagues that were at a level where he was, that he had to come back and apologize because he was leading his folks wrong. I didn't believe what he said, and I wouldn't allow him to even, I wouldn't even allow considering not paying that 10%. That 10% is my insurance policy. But the reason I'm sharing it with you this morning is the act of obedience. It's an act of faith. And we must learn that God's word gives us instruction and direction, and if we follow it, we're going to come out all right. You know, the first few months I was saying, Lord, you know, I'm giving this 10% of my salary, to the church, but I never went without one. I had gas, my kids had food, if whatever else we needed, I had it because God provided it. Because in reality, you wouldn't have that job if God didn't give you that job. You know, so everything, the scripture says the cattle on a thousand hills belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. I was looking last night for some music for the praise and worship, and there's a song. I guess God was showing me I needed to include that song, and I will next Sunday. And it says, everything belongs to God. But I just want you to know, obedience is so important. And I'm not going to be able to finish this today, but I want you to leave you with this matter of staying focused. You got to stay focused. So that's what God, Jesus did for Peter, because he said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he started out full of faith. But when that wind started blowing and what have you, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, when you let that doubt and unbelief in, it will hinder you. Everyone's destiny is to come to Jesus, but we are never so close to God that we can't fall or make a mistake or fail him. That's why we must stay focused, because it's easy to take our eye off our destiny and purpose when we are just at arm's length away from God. So we need to fend off those distractions, and that's where we're going to stop when we meet again, or when I teach again, we'll finish this, because it's important enough for us to finish this. You need to know how to be obedient, and that's what we're talking about. We need to know how to be obedient. We need to know how to prevent the devil from distracting us. We don't need to be hindered, and we don't need to be distracted. So with that said, I'm going to ask our Reverend Alderson to dismiss us. If there's anybody online this morning with us that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I certainly want you to know that the scripture in Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's how we get saved. And that's how we get relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's how we are born again, because we receive the Spirit of God. We receive the Spirit of God, and then our life begins to change, and we become obedient to God. He becomes our master, and he helps us to be obedient. He helps us to avoid hindrances and distractions. And so with that said, I'm going to ask Reverend to dismiss us, and I want y'all to have a beautiful day in the Lord. And when I am teaching again, we will finish this, because there's still some things I want to talk about. All right, Reverend.
Amen. Amen. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Reminds me of Cain and Abel, when one of them gave that bad sacrifice, and God rejected it. and took the other one. Amen. But you touched on a lot of points, but what got me good is that fear and faith. You can't have both of them at the same time. That fear and faith, that's what got me, Pastor, because like you said, he was walking good on that water. Peter was walking good, and then he lost his faith. And we pray for healing, and we pray for these things, but then we waver in our faith. We pray for these things, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking, okay, well, I'm still sick and all of that stuff. And then you start wavering in your faith, and then you want to know what happened. What happened was you put fear and faith in the same category, and Pastor just told you, don't work. It don't work.
And
I'm a witness to that, and some of y'all is too. Some of y'all is a witness to that. We cannot put fear and faith. I know you talked a lot about a lot of good things, but that one just touched me. You cannot have both. Can't have both. Amen. So, Father God, we just want to thank you, Father God. We thank you for the message that went forth. We thank you for the messenger, Father God. And we thank you for that reminder. We thank you for that reminder that you can't put fear and faith in the same category, Lord. We know that just don't work, Father God. So we want to keep our minds straight on you. We don't want to look to the left. We don't want to look to the right, but we want to keep our focus straight on you, Lord. And we know, Father God, that you are a healer, Father God. You answer prayers, Father God, as long as we keep the faith, Father God. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the messenger, Father God. And Father God, as we leave, Father God, we pray that there you are there with us in the midst everywhere we go, Father God. We pray, Father God, a hedge of protection over each and everyone here today, Father God, and all the family members represented today, Father God. And we just want to thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Father God, because we know without you, Father God, there is no us, Father God. We know that without you, there's no jobs, there's no cars, there's no houses, Lord. So we just thank you for everything you do for us, Father God, from the big to the little, Father God. We thank you for it all because we know it all belongs to you. So this morning we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen, praise y'all. God. Y'all have amen. A good one.
All right. Y'all have a beautiful day in the Lord. Be safe, but also know that God is still on the throne and he'll never leave you or forsake you. And so whatever you have before him this morning, please know that he does hear and answer prayer. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Have a good one.
Everybody.
Amen.